Carlos Manuel Rodriguez is probably not a household name, at least where you live, but the first blessed of the island of Puerto Rico, I think, really deserves to be more widely known. Very often people will come to me and they say, "Father, you know, when you tell the stories of the saints and blessed, it's amazing because, you know, you find out how contemporary they are in so many ways, even if they lived centuries ago. And I love telling the stories of the saints, and even more when it's someone that I've come across who I didn't really know anything about before, because it adds to all of our friends in heaven that we can have a great relationship with." Charlie, as he was called, was born in 1918. And from his earliest days showed a great love for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. As a teenager, there was one day where he was walking with his two-year-old cousin down the street when a rabid dog came and attacked the child. So, of course, Charlie went to protect the poor girl and ended up wounded so badly that for the rest of his life, he battled all kinds of gastrointestinal diseases. Now, for those of you who are weak of heart, I will, you know, abstain this afternoon from going into all the gory details, but it was really amazing what this poor man had to suffer, all because he was trying to protect his little cousin from getting mauled by a dog. He was so sick that he only barely finished high school, and even though he was quite bright, he could never finish college. He knew that he could never be a priest with such chronically ill health, and so he spent his life as a layman, centering everything around his parish church in Caguas. Now, Charlie grew up in a time in which numerous Puerto Ricans were Catholics who went to Mass every Sunday, but they didn't always really understand what was happening. Their catechesis was poor, and they often went out of obligation or custom rather than true evangelical fervor. As a young man, he read the words of St. Pius X, "The primary and indispensable source of the true Christian spirit is the active participation of the faithful in the official and public prayer of the church." Now, I want you to think about what this really means. What this means is that what we are doing right here, right now, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is the most important thing that happens in the universe. Because it is the sacrifice of Calvary, represented in the here and now. There is nothing more important than what we're doing in prayer right now. And everything that we do, all of the good that we do, flows from that encounter with Christ in the sacred liturgy. This is not a human action. This is not a praise and worship service where we get together and read some scriptures and give some high fives to other disciples across the way. This is where heaven and earth meet. Charlie understood that, and he gave himself entirely over to the study of the sacred liturgy. Now, some of you will remember when we did the sermon series a couple years ago on the Mass in slow motion, I talked about how in the first half of the 20th century, there were many theologians and pastors who promoted what they called the liturgical movement, which encouraged Catholics to learn as much as they could about the sacred liturgy and participate in it. First of all, interiorly. The most important thing is what's going on in here when we're at Mass, but also exteriorly, as much as possible. Now, you've heard me say this several times in my time with you at Prince of Peace, and I'm going to say it over and over and over again as long as I have breath in my body, but Mass is not a spectator sport. Okay? There are no bench warmers in the Mass. Okay? Sometimes, you know, when I see people and they're at Mass and they're just kind of like this, then I have to say, okay, you're here, that's great, but do you realize what is happening? St. Jean-Marie Vianney said, if we understood what was really going on at the Mass, we would die, because it is that amazing and that wonderful. Charlie read everything that he could get his hands on about the Mass, about the sacred liturgy. He read voraciously and even translated a number of serious theological works into Spanish. He started study circles where he gathered all kinds of young men and women and taught them to follow the prayers of the Mass and the other sacraments. Okay? Think about how the opening collect, that opening prayer of the Mass, okay, it's so short it's easy to miss. Something shiny goes across the church and you've already forgotten what the priest has said, right? Okay? It's easy to do. Okay? But those prayers come, many of them, from the most ancient collections of prayers in the history of the church. And Charlie would teach the people who would come to him in these study circles to take those collects with them throughout the week. Okay? It wasn't just something that you kind of hear in one ear and out the other on Sundays, but something which could nourish the entire week and center it around the Mass. He taught them to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office. This was a man who was sick most of the time, who never finished school, but who lived the liturgy so intensely and was so eloquent in imparting it to other people that he influenced an entire generation of Puerto Ricans who claimed him as a living saint. This was a man who, when he came to Mass and you saw him pray, or when he talked about what happened in the church, you knew that this was a man who believed in everything that was happening. He knew what was going on. Now, sometimes it's hard for people to imagine what it was like, but there were many places, and sometimes this still goes on, where people who came to Mass just kind of ignored what was going on at the altar. So the priest was doing his thing up here, and then other people were doing just whatever they were doing in the pews or on the porch of the church or wherever. And some of them, if they prayed at all, usually prayed these sentimental and sappy devotions that were popular at the time. Many of them never learned the official language of the church, the Latin, in which the Mass was celebrated exclusively at the time, and which is still our common heritage as Catholics. And so they became spectators at Mass. Remember, we said there are no spectators at Mass. You can't be a spectator at Mass. Because it is a common action of all of us that each one of us has a different role in. Charlie, as a layman, taught the people to be able to enter into the Mass. He taught them Latin and Gregorian chant, the ancient prayers of the Mass. St. Pius X had always said, don't pray at Holy Mass, pray the Holy Mass. There's a difference. Right? There's one thing if you come in here and we're saying the prayers and you're like, okay, this is just my me and Jesus time, right? And you're praying and that's good. But think about praying the prayers of the Mass corporately, everyone together, entering into those prayers. And so Charlie made the ancient prayers of the church the bedrock of a spirituality that renewed the faith of his fellow parishioners. Now, one of the things that he loved the most was the Easter Vigil. Now, I have a question. I've done this at all the Masses this weekend. I just want to see a show of hands. How many of you have ever been to the Easter Vigil on the night before Easter Sunday? Okay, so some of you have. All right. If you have never been to this, the mother of all vigils, then I certainly encourage you to go. Some of you actually baptize and receive into the church at the Easter Vigil, so it's wonderful to be able to know that so many have come to this vigil. Charlie was fond of saying, vivimos para esta noche. We live for this night. And that wasn't some kind of slogan that he said. He reminded the people that at Easter, when we celebrate the victory of the resurrection, we are united with Christ. And because of that, we can live forever in God. Through the sacrament of baptism, we become, as we just heard in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a new creation. You know, so often I'll have people who'll come to me and they say, you know, Father, my life is such a mess. Okay? I have made a mess of everything that I've ever done. I can't find a way out. I don't know what to do next. I can't even put one foot in front of the other. Okay? You know, I wish I could just kind of start all over again. And I'll look at them and say, but God has given you that chance. Are you baptized? Well, of course, Father, I'm baptized. Then you are a new creation in Christ. All that you have to do is to take all of that dross, all of the old man, and leave it behind. And let that baptismal robe of innocence and beauty and purity that was given to your baptism, take that up again. Whoever in Christ is a new creation, the old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Our life in Christ, eternal friendship with God, comes through our living of the same paschal mystery that Jesus lived. Through grace, we are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Charlie went through his own paschal experience. You know, when we talk about being a disciple of Christ, you know, that doesn't mean that, okay, well, Jesus was kind of an interesting moral teacher. He was kind of a good guy. Maybe I should kind of be like him sometimes in some of what I do. That's not what being a disciple of Christ is. Being a disciple of Christ is letting ourselves be transformed by the same experience that he had when he was on this earth. That we live that mystery that we celebrate in our own bodies and souls. You know, he was only 44 when his health deteriorated to the point of no return. His little brother, whom he taught to love the liturgy from childhood, was ordained a priest, but he couldn't go to the ordination. His young brother, his abbot, gave him permission to say his first Mass close to home, where his brother had to participate from the sacristy. And his brother spent his first few months with him at the side of a living saint. Can you imagine what a school of the Lord's service that must have been for a newly ordained priest to spend his first months of ministry constantly in vigil at the bedside of a saint? What an incredible gift. But those months were agony. Charlie felt the loss of God. Abandoned by his Lord, he writhed in pain. He lived Good Friday. And only near the end, he was able to hear one single word, Dios, God. Only one single word could give him any sense of consolation and peace. The holy name of the God who created him, who made him a new creation in Christ. As the end, or the beginning, to look at it from the Christian point of view, drew near, his brother sang to him the Exultet, the solemn proclamation of Easter from the vigil liturgy. Rejoice, choirs of angels. Let angel ministers of God rejoice. Let the trumpet of salvation sound along the triumph of our mighty King. Let all the corners of the earth be glad, knowing an end to gloom and darkness. This is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. You know, if ever you find yourself sad and depressed and you don't know how to get through the day, then you come into church and you get out that missal and you find the Exultet from the Easter Vigil and make that your prayer so that you can know in your heart that Christ has broken those chains that you think are binding you. He's already broken them. So let them fall. As his newly ordained brother sang these words of the praying church that go back all the way to the earliest centuries, Charlie died and went to rest in his Lord and God. He was beatified by St. John Paul II and maybe will be canonized someday. We'll have to have a miracle around Prince of Peace that we can use for his canonization. You know, I think that Blessed Carlos Manuel Rodriguez is a very powerful patron for us today. Remember that he was an ordinary layman who was sick and suffering and challenged in so many ways. But he knew that what he was doing when he came to Mass was the most important thing that happened in the universe. He entered into that with every cell of his body. He studied his faith. He didn't just kind of sit there and say, well, I guess I'm kind of here. You know, osmosis me with everything that's going on. He embraced it. He loved it. He lived the liturgy he celebrated every day. His life became a living sacrifice of praise. And in doing so, he was conformed to the image of Christ. in his suffering, in his passion, in his death, and most of all, and most importantly of all, in his resurrection. He wasn't a priest or a theologian, but his whole life was a new creation in Christ because of his baptism. He knew that, and he lived the grace-filled life. So let us always be mindful that we are a new creation in Christ. What is old and decaying and useless from the former man of sin has passed away. What we have now and what we have to look forward to is light and happiness and life in God.